My dearly beloved in Christ, today we have this parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And there are a number of applications for the meaning of this parable, but one I would like to particularly concentrate on is that at the end of the day, the owner of the vineyard tells his steward, his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their hire. And of course, that is only fair, that is only just. We read in the Old Testament that one of the greatest sins is for an employer to fail to pay his employees, anyone who hires someone, to be unjust and not pay the person who works for you. On another occasion, our Lord said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. But what we notice here in this parable is that the men who worked in the vineyard worked for different amounts. There's some who worked all day, there's some who worked part of the day, there's some who worked even a very short time. And they all received their pay for a day's work. And we could apply the labor during the day to life in this world. And the payday, so to speak, payment at the end of the day to God, giving eternal happiness to all those who faithfully work in his vineyard and keep his laws. Now, there are some who live a long life, and they live their faith throughout that life. There are others who maybe live a short life, but they please God and obey his laws during that short life, and they all receive the heavenly reward, which is the beatific vision. Now, it is true that there is a different gradation of happiness in heaven. But all of the just in heaven, even those of, you might say, the lowest rank, are supremely blissful and enjoy the beatific vision. So we could again apply this gospel to the payment at the end of the day to the happiness of heaven. And is it not true that a laborer looks forward to that payment, to be able to pay his bills, support his family, and so forth? And some people greatly enjoy their work, their labor. But even those who enjoy it, they still want to get paid. And so they look forward to that. You might say that reward or that payment motivates them to fulfill their responsibilities. But God not only pays us, if we can use that terminology, God not only rewards us with everlasting happiness after a life of fidelity to his commandments, he even rewards us during this life. And how does God do that? Of course, he does it in many ways. But one of the greatest is by the peace and the joy of a good conscience. We have spoken of this topic before, but it is very important. We must follow our conscience. And when we adhere to our conscience, we have joy, we have happiness, we are content. When we fail to obey the voice of conscience, we are unhappy. And nothing we do can take away that guilt, that worry, that unhappiness. There are those poor souls in the world who are living at variance with God, with his holy will, with his commandments. And they try to put a smile on their face. They seek happiness in the things of this world, but wherever they go and whatever they do, they have turmoil inside. They are unhappy. Their conscience is accusing them. And so the peace of a good conscience is a tremendous blessing, and we must strive to obtain it by, of course, doing God's will, obeying the voice of our conscience. And then we find that peace. These are the words of the Imitation of Christ regarding the blessings of a good conscience. The glory of a good man is the testimony of a good conscience. Keep a good conscience, and thou shalt always have joy. A good conscience can bear very much and is very joyful in the midst of adversity. A bad conscience is always fearful and uneasy. Sweetly wilt thou take thy rest if thy heart reprehend thee not. Never rejoice But when thou hast done well, the wicked never have true joy, neither do they feel internal peace, because there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. And if they shall say, we are in peace, evils will not come upon us, and who shall dare to hurt us? Believe them not, for the wrath of God will rise suddenly, and their deeds shall be brought to nothing, and their projects shall perish. And just a couple more verses from this meditation. The glory of a good man, the glory of good men is in their own consciences, not in the mouths of men. He will easily be content and in peace whose conscience is clean. So let us then resolve that we will always adhere to our conscience. God gave us our conscience to be our guide to eternal life. And this is so true that if a person commits what is a sin, but believes it is not a sin, and he does something which in itself is truly wrong, but he does not believe it or is not aware of it, the person is not guilty in the eyes of God. On the other hand, if a person does something which is not sinful, or maybe only venially sinful, but believes is a mortal sin in his mind and he does it anyway, then that person is truly guilty of mortal sin in the eyes of God. So that is how important it is that we adhere to our conscience. We could compare it to the testimony of our conscience to looking at yourself in a mirror. Now you get dressed, you put on your shirt, men put on a tie, you put on your clothing, and you look at yourself, you want to make sure that it's straight, that it's ordered. Now you might ask your spouse, you might ask someone else, is my shirt on straight, my tie on straight, or whatever. But you want to look for yourself. You want to see for yourself how it appears. Well, our conscience is like the mirror. It tells us what we are, what we look like in the eyes of God. And our conscience is a very good gauge of where we are spiritually. St. Gregory Nazianzen calls conscience a judge placed over men by the Almighty in his place, in his stead, to pronounce finally on their actions, whether good or bad. Wherever the sentence of that judge may be, God ratifies it and rejects as bad what the conscience condemns as bad and approves as good what it approves of. If I satisfy my conscience, I satisfy God. If my conscience accuses me, I am guilty before God. If my conscience does not accuse or condemn me, neither will God accuse, punish, or condemn. Now, of course, there is such a thing as a scrupulous conscience, which is not a correct conscience. And one who has a scrupulous conscience must have recourse to the advice of a confessor to guide his actions. But most people do not have that problem, and they know that the voice of their conscience is the will of God for them. And even a person who is afflicted with a scrupulous conscience, that most often never lasts for a long period of time. With counsel, with effort, the person is able to rectify that and live with a correct conscience. So we must adhere to our conscience, and in doing so, we find peace of heart, peace of soul, and we could say a reward even for obeying God in this life. Yes, we look to the reward of the next life, but God in his goodness rewards us even now, because the peace of a good conscience is more than money can buy. It is that happiness, that satisfaction, that contentment that God gives to those who obey his holy will. King David, often in the Psalms that he wrote, of course, we know the story of King David having fallen grievously into sin, wrote the beautiful Psalms, and he continually mentioned this. He said, my iniquity is always before me. And he repented for the rest of his life of his sin. He was greatly sorry because he failed to follow his conscience on that one occasion. And he repented of it, as I said, the rest of his life. On another occasion in the psalm, he says, there is no health in my flesh Because of thy wrath, there is no peace for my bones because of my sins. And that is the way it is for a wicked man. He can run wherever he wishes. He can go wherever he wishes. He will not find peace of heart if his conscience is accusing him of guilt. The words of Saint Bernard, there is no punishment greater than the torment of a bad conscience. So the wicked are punished in this world by their conscience accusing them, and then they're punished in the next. Let us resolve to be faithful to the guide that God has given to us, our conscience, because if we are faithful to it, it will lead us to the happiness of heaven, and it will give us content and joy here on earth, the joy of a good conscience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.